Okay, we're at Simakup Yadal at Sifhei. Sifhei and Vav, which we're going to learn today, are Sifim that have to do with Heksherim in general. They're not something that a person typically knows to find, because Simakup Yadal is not often learned, it's often skipped. And the name of the Simin doesn't give any hint to the fact that Sifhei is a major Sif in the halachis of giving hechsherim, sifhei and vav. And for that reason, it's a little obscure as far as it being known. But I think you'll recognize the klal immediately, and the confusion as to where it applies will become readily apparent. In the previous sefer, we talked about when shtia is mutter with a guy. We're in the middle of Kofi Beis, Kofi Gimel, and Kofi Dal, which talk about Issa Chasnus. And therefore, the first part of Simon Kofi Dal, it spoke exclusively about the issue of when Chazal asked drinking with a non-Jew. Sifhei, and Sifav as well, turned to a general Hechsher issue regarding Yayin Rimainim. Yayin Rimainim, a wine made from pomegranates, was mentioned in Sif Gimel as being something that was not included in the original Gezeirah that forbade drinking with a non-Jew. Sifhei talks about the kashrus issue involved. Let's try to learn carefully and understand what it says in the Mechaber, what it says in the Ramah, and then we'll try to see how wide a heter this may be. Yain Rimainim Shemechel Refuah. Wine made from pomegranates, which are sold for health purposes. I guess pomegranates, today they also advertise that it's good for refuah. Muta l'loichai mehatagor, you're allowed to buy it from a non-Jewish merchant. Afilu shaloi mehachavis. We said earlier that you can buy things straight from the barrel in which they ferment because it ruins it to put in wine. So there was no chashash they put in wine. What about if you're buying it in the store? Shalei me'achavis. Apapi shadamav yikarim v'nayayin. Even though pomegranate juice, pomegranate wine is more expensive than grape wine. So we said earlier that a guy is chashud, that he's going to put grape wine into a beer. If wine is cheaper than beer, so he might as well mix in the wine and he'll make money on the deal. But no, by Yayin Rimainim, you don't have to be afraid of it. Mishum dikivan di ispe kepeda loy mara nafshei. Because since there's a kepeda, people who buy Yayin Rimainim are makbid not to have other things mixed in. Therefore, loy mara nafshei. And Umin doesn't want to ruin his reputation. He doesn't want to ruin his reputation. And for that reason, we're not chayshid that he will mix in this other ingredient. Now the Ramah adds the chen kol davar shekayim in uman d'loy mara nafshei. Now, question is, what is the Ramah adding more than the Mechaber? Mechaber here establishes a rule that a uman is trusted not to do something that would ruin his reputation, and appears you don't need a hechsher. If mixing wine into Yayin Rimainim is not good, so you don't have to be chayshid, that'll do it. And the Ramah is, it's not clear, what is the Ramah adding?
I think
the emphasis
is not only this.
Saying not only this, but everything. Why would I think this specifically? So maybe, because here it's a shal of a drabanan, Yayin Stam Yayinam is a drabanan, so maybe I would think it's only by a drabanan that we're allowed to be meikel. So the Ramah says, v'chein kol davar. He says anything that you buy from an uman, you're allowed to rely the loy mara nafshei, and is the important point refuah? Okay, that's a good question. The Pesachei Tshuva tells us to look at Magen Avraham Simin Chaf. The Magen Avraham there, at least the way Masa Shekel explains, the Magen Avraham says that adding the wine is not good for refuah. The Yayin Rimainim is good for refuah, and the wine that's added, it ruins the refuah effect. So Leimar Nashe is not going to put in something which is not good for his business.
So, what's considered an Uman? The farmer who's selling.
Right, what's considered an Uman? And that's part of the question of what the general klal here is. Let me just give you the background, and we're going to try to come to some understanding of how far this goes. Can we say that you can trust the ingredient panel of any food? Because Uman Leibar and Afshay, no company wants to print something which is inaccurate, which would be a very far-reaching heter. So let's go to the background, and then we'll go to the Tshuva Svarim. That's true. If it's less than a certain amount, you don't have to worry. But then again, I'm asking a general question. So let's say you'll assume it's more than that amount. They don't have to list things less. They also don't have to list things that are not put in as an ingredient. If they have a non-stick agent, for example, which halachically can make something treif, is not considered an ingredient and it doesn't have to be put in. It's true. It's true. For that reason alone, you couldn't trust the ingredients. You buy cocoa, it says 100% pure cocoa. Now, that's not true. They have something added. It's an anti-caking agent to all cocoa. Cocoa clumps. Mm-hmm. So there's something added. Halachically, it's got to be kosher. But since it's not added as an ingredient, therefore they don't have to list it. So they have hashkochas. Although cocoa generally is not a problem, I just mean as an example. So the question is how far it goes. So I'd like to give you the background and then what the place can say about it. And Ramosha has a couple of important shuvas on the topic. The background is a Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Gimel that says you're allowed to go into a Goyish store and buy a talis that has tzitzis on it. And you have a right to assume that the tzitzis on it are kosher because the... Because Uman Leimar and Afshay is not going to buy Goyisha strings and put it on a talis. He knows that if he's selling a talis, the customer wants something with strings that are made properly. And the Gemara says you're allowed to buy a talis mitzuyetzes from a tagorakum. That's what it says in the Gemara itself. And what? Well, a guy is selling Judaica, he's selling a Jewish product. So the assumption is that it. What Jews are makpid on? You mean maybe the guy learned how... Well, the point there is we're not choishish that the strings were not tzavuim l'shma. We don't think that the guy will go buy his own strings and put them on. That's what it says there. And the Ran learns from that to Yayin Remainim. He says just like it's written there, you have this heter of Yayin Remainim. So those are the two makairis.
What about China?
Now, what?
Well,
they sell tzitzis in China. So I don't know if you know that there's a problem. You know, there's a problem. I'm not aware of it. The point is this. The question which the Magen Avraham phrases there in Simen Chaf, Sivkat Nalef, his language is, Otu mishari liknais basar mitagar. Do you mean to tell me I could buy kosher meat that's labeled as kosher from a Goyisha businessman? I'll say that Uman Leimar and Afshay, and he has an emunah that if he's going to sell kosher meat, it's going to be kosher. What's the difference between kosher tzitzis and kosher meat?
You can't even trust the Jewish business.
I forgot to bring it. I think Costco sells. Costco sells it with a double simen, with two simanim. That's an old problem that a guy could put it on. But this is the Magen Avraham's kasha. Now, obviously, the Magen Avraham is going to give us some gedorim in when we could rely on this idea of Uman Leimara Nafshei. And from this, we're going to come to the tremendous tumult over of Maisha. Ramesha has a letter printed in the first Igris Maisha, Tshuva Nun Hei, in which... he is understood by many to be writing, and we'll discuss whether he actually says that. He's understood by many to be saying that if a company sends you a letter saying that all the ingredients are kosher, you could rely on that letter. That's the way it's understood. Is this talking about license or selling tzitzis? Oh, so clearly, it's not only a licensed doctor. A businessman is not an uman. Yeah, it's interesting to call him an uman. I guess it means that somebody who's parnosa is involved. It's like Mara Nafshe. Mechaber doesn't use the language uman. Coming from a businessman, that's interesting. Yeah, you're right. We're talking about a Goyish businessman too. Well, what are you going to do? The Mechaber here says in Simon Chaf, Halakech Talis Mitzietzis Mi Yisrael, Oy Metagor Eini Yehudi Vama Shalacha Mi Yisrael. Kosher. Kivin the Tagor Hu Chazaka Shalacha Mi Yisrael the Loi Mara Nafshe. The Mechaber says such a thing that a Tagor is Loi Mara Nafshe. Now, contrast that with the fact that if you give meat to a Goyish salesman, you have to put tusam on him. So we need some type of a hagdara of how and when it's mutter. Here in Simichov, the Shach, the Taz, and a number of Achrayim struggle over the issue. I think we're going to stick with the two shitas that are brought in the Mishnah Berurah, because there are numerous opinions on the matter, but we're going to stick with the Mishnah Berurah's apaisik. We'll go with his two shitas. Well, Tchelis is one of the things that needs two simanim. Chavis needs Ches Beis Yud Tov. The things that need two simanim are Chatichas Basar. Chatichas Dag. A whole dag is mutter, but Chatichas Dag. And Basar, and Yayin, and Tchelis. Those are four items which are specifically expensive, and Issa Deiraisa. And therefore, those four Chazal said need two simanim. So here, is it talking with Tchelis? I guess it's talking with Tchelis.
Is it
okay, so the Magen Avraham makes a distinction between a talis, which you're allowed to buy from a guy, and strings, which he says you're not allowed to. And I'm going to read it the way the Mishnah Berurah brings it, although if you go to the Magen Avraham, the language is a little more complicated, but we'll trust the Chafetz Chaim for the way he brings the Magen Avraham. He says, "I am a Magen." This is in Simchas of Katan Dalet. I am Magen Avraham. Shekos of Daf Gagabe Talis Mitzuyetzes Samchin Al Svarazum Amin and Lai Daf Gagabe Talis. And Yayin remind him as well. Why? Mishum De'ain Derech LeNachri Litlois Tzitzis Bevigdai. It's not normal for a guy to stick strings into the corners of the Gadim. Avoliknois Tzitzis, but to buy the strings, the Chutei Tzitzis, Aser. Because maybe it wasn't done lishma. So you can't buy strings from a guy because a guy could easily switch them. By a talis, there's an additional factor. There's a factor that there's an umdana that goyim don't put strings on tzitzis. And since goyim don't put the strings on, maybe they don't know exactly how, whatever it is. So it's mutter. He says, v'chei posko ataz v'derech achayim. The Taz and the Seed is Paschal this way. So the first shita is that the rule we're talking about here, that Uman Loi Mara Nafshe, is only if you have an additional Umdana added to it. Taga Loi Mara Nafshe by itself is not, you can't rely on that. You can only rely on it with the sniff, with the tziruf, that it's not normal for a non-Jew to put strings on a beggar. Then he says, V'yesh Makilam B'zeh, says some are more mekel than this. He doesn't say how mekel, but he says I'm bar Isis Achayim Shuas Yakim Sheskimu Dehecha Deisa Katago Liknei Sitzis Mi Yisrael Velim Kar Mutar Mitaga. He says that if this is the guy's parnasa, the Isis Achayim holds that it's mutter. So that the Isis Achayim is being more mekel. He's saying if this is his parnasa, I guess it means his main parnasa. That's his Isis. If he has a big store and he sells 1,000 things, and this is one thing, we wouldn't rely on it. That's when it's mutter. So the Aretz HaZachayim in a way is a chumra and a kula. It's a chumra in the case of a talis. It's only matter a talis where it's a main part of the guy's business. If Macy's sells talisim, I don't think anybody thinks it's a main part of that business. Aretz HaZachayim won't be mekel. But on the other hand, as far as a rule for other places, he's saying that this rule is only where it's a main part of the guy's parnasa. And that's when it's mutter. So we have here two opinions. What? According to this, it should be true about. I guess it should be true about tefillin as well. According to this, Again, if it's his main parnasa according to Arutz Chaim, and if there's an additional lumdim, which there certainly is by tefillin. Macy's may be more reliable. Why? Are they more concerned about their reputation? Maybe. I don't know. Perhaps. I don't know. And each item of the thousands of items they carry there. Okay. It could be. I can't tell you differently. But so basically, was saying that you needed serif to malay mara nafshe. Which serif? So it sounds like the Iker Sheet is the Magen Avraham and the Taz, and they hold that you need a tziruf of an umdina. And you have also the Sheet of the Arutz Chaim that if it's his main parnasa, that itself is a good enough tziruf. Now, looking back at the language of the Shulchan Aruch, we have a raya that this is so, just from the language. Because if you look at the language of the Mechaber, he says, Mishum dekivan de ispek peida loymar anafshe. He says, because this is the type of thing which there's a kapeda, therefore he's not mara nafshe. The Magen Avraham, again, as explained, Master Shekel says, it's a kapeda because wine is not good for yayin rimayinim. And that being the case, so that you need some sort of a tziruf to lay mara nafshe. Yes? No, Ramesha holds that it's called the Yediyah Brura. It's called the Yediyah, and that's all Chazal required in the case of Marakum, of Bishul Akum, is the Yediyah. So, I don't think it's quite the same.
So, okay.
I mean, the law doesn't allow mixing any trafus and things out label kosher. But. Okay. I can't comment on scotch, but I think the case of scotch has more to do with sivav than sivhei, which we're going to see in a little while. But we'll see very sure.
There has to be
an
Uman or
a
regular?
Has to be an Uman, that's for sure. Now, there's a second very important raya to this, and that's a Simen Shin Beis in Hilchas Shatnez. In Hilchas Shatnez, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you go to a tailor, and you tell him to alter your suit, to put buttons on your suit, the Shulchan Aruch talks about whether he's Neman, that he's not going to use, let's say it's a suit that has linen. Is he Neman that he's not going to use cotton thread? So the Shulchan Aruch, wool thread, I'm sorry. He's not going to use wool thread. So the Mechaber there writes the following. He says, if Stam, you can't trust the Uman. But if you go into the store and you give him the thread with which you want him to sew the button or sew up the hem, if you give him the thread, then he's Naaman, and the Shach Dalad writes, because Uman Laimara Nafshe. Notice he says this idea that a Uman Laimara Nafshe, which is the same din as here, however, he says it only if you give him the thread with which to do it. But for him to be Naaman straight out, he says he's not Naaman. The Gilyam Arshan decided a page asks, Maishna Misimikuf Yudalit, that the Uman is believed, you don't have to give him things, he's just believed. So Gilyam Arshan answers in the name of Chacham Tzvi that Sifhei is talking the Isbek Peda, that putting wine into Yayin Rimayim is something which everyone's makbid. And it's not the same as putting wool strings on a cotton baguette, which not everyone is makbid, even though all Jews are makbid. But he means it's not something which is a general kapeda. So therefore, it's not enough the loymara nafshe. Now there, it seems that Gilyam Arsha also, the way he explains it seems like the Magen Avraham and the Taz, that we only rely on Laimar and Nafshay with this tziruf. There's an umdina. If you're giving him the thread, then he's going to use the thread. You need this additional tziruf. The fact that it's his umdis apparently is not good enough. He tells you he's not going to use wool, and he will use. Maybe he will use wool. Now, as a matter of practicality, it's not so much an issue today, at least not wool thread, which nobody uses. But if you have a wool suit, let's use linen thread. I don't know. Is linen thread is so common today where everyone uses the synthetic? What?
I heard from a clothing manufacturer that the only to get the tachrich and linen thread
is hard.
There's no
linen thread. So everyone uses polyester thread or cotton thread, and therefore today it's not so much of an issue. But still, the raya is a raya. So we're walking away with, as a klal, before we look at the tshuvas, is we're coming away with a klal that you cannot rely on umma loymara nafshay without a tziruf. Without a tziruf, without an added sniff to be made.
So the
Ramah is not arguing, he's just saying that it's a worldwide heter. He says, "V'chein." I don't know. You see, he's basing it on Iran. The Iran takes the Gemara's case and applies it here too. So to make a machloek, this would be a big chiddush. And now we come to Ramesh's tshuva. Now Ramesh has this tshuva. Nigris Ramesh Simon Nun Hay. The name of the shaylan, big letters, is: are you allowed to rely on the letters? Companies, which he spelled in Hebrew letters, the letters of the companies who say that they only use vegetable oil and no animal oils. Are you allowed to rely on a letter from the company? And if you do as most people do, you jump to the last paragraph. His answer is that it's okay. And based on this, there is a hechsher, which by its reputation is, I don't know firsthand. If I knew firsthand, I would say which hechsher, but there's a hechsher that people ask about that relies on that. It's a mail order hechsher. You send them a letter certifying that all your ingredients are kosher, and they give you a hechsher. And their claim is that they rely on this igros meisher. Meisher says you can rely on the letter, and that is their claim, which is an erroneous claim. All right, that's not the point. The point is the rule that he's saying, and now. That comes from the mistake of reading the last paragraph of a tshuva and assuming that's what he means. In the first paragraph of the tshuva, there are two things that he says that have to be taken into account. He writes that the shaila is about trusting them in a case where it's a milsa David l'gluye, where it's something that they'll be caught. Exactly how they'll be caught, I'm not sure. And also that the letter was asked in the phrase, it was phrased as being something which is a person has a chayli. Now he can't have, for health reasons, he cannot have animal derivatives. And it was written as a letter, apparently believable from the way it's written, that the question was based on health concerns. So that with these two things, the idea that it was just for health concerns and it was asked... And it was this the case of a mirtis avida l'gluye. So that is what Ramesh's tshuva is about. And fortunately, Ramesh does have a later tshuva to explain this earlier tshuva, which is printed in Chelek Dalet of Yeridaya, the first tshuva. Now, I have to tell you, before that, there are a couple of other tshuvas. In tshuva, in Yeridaya Gimel, Ramesh has his tuna fish tshuva, in which he writes that you need a mashkiach tamidi for tuna fish. That's Ramesh's shita, not after tuna fish, all fish. He says you need a mashkiach tamidi. It's very hard to catch a tray for fish, yetzav v'nichnas. Between the time the fish goes into the plant and it's skinned is a couple of minutes. And it's not like you catch them with big vats of tray for oil. If they have a tray for ingredient, you walk in, you catch them. Ramesh says, how do you catch a tray for fish mixed in with tuna fish? So Ramesh holds that tuna fish needs a mashkiach tamidi. We've discussed this in the past. The OU does not follow this opinion. OU fish is not kosher, according to Ramesh, and except for the OUP, which I think we discussed here a number of times. But they disagree. Okay, you're entitled to disagree. But Ramesh's opinion is that the tuna fish needs hashkach tamidi. So someone said, Ramesh had charata from the tshuva in Simin Nun Hay. There he says you can rely on a letter from the companies which says that all the ingredients are kosher. So here also the tuna fish companies are telling you they have no other fish, just tuna fish. So here Ramesh is saying that you can't rely on it. Oh, so it must be Ramesh at Harata from the previous truma. This is the way the shaila is presented in Chelek Dalet. Now there are three trumas. Nun Hei, where he says you could rely on the companies. And then Chelek Gimel Tshuva Ches, where he says that the tuna fish issue is an issue. And now this third tshuva, in which Ramesha clarifies the position that he said earlier. He doesn't write quite sharply that you didn't read the beginning of the tshuva. He just writes Chas V'Shalom. He writes Chas V'Shalom She'estira from one of my tshuvas to another one. He writes Losha Chas V'Shalom. And he basically says that I'm talking in the first tshuva with his emirtis, where there's some type of a fear that the person will be caught. He says, in the first tshuva I was talking about relying on a letter from the company and the mashgiach going in from time to time. He said, I didn't mean when it's not mirtis. I meant when there's a mirtis, an avida legluye, because someone's walking in to check, unannounced. And there I said, you can rely on a letter and then just go in occasionally. You don't need a mashgiach to meet. But he said, in the case of the fish, where there is no mirtis, not the type of thing that you could really catch them with by going in. And he writes that there you can't, there's no meritus, you can't just rely on a letter from the company. He never meant to rely on it. He adds towards the end of this tshuva that the chlal, when there's a tremendous price difference, he also never meant to be makel on in the first tshuva. He meant in a case where oil is added, it's one of many ingredients. So comparative to the whole product, it's a small part of the product. So he said you can rely on a letter plus miritis, you can rely on it. But outside of that, Ramesha says that he never meant to be mekel. So that this Loimara Nashe by itself doesn't stand by itself just to rely on a letter. So you don't have to see any process. If you lock a guy into a building with all kosher ingredients, it really doesn't matter how he mixes them, unless it's meat and milk.
You're trusting them that what they're saying the ingredients are the ingredients.
No, it's not true. They have to be able to certify that what they're saying is true. You can't just trust them. What does it mean you trust them? They say that's nothing.
I'm given to understand by Coca-Cola.
If that's not a hechsher. It's not a hechsher to rely on, they told you it's kosher. That's not a hechsher.
They're telling you these are the ingredients.
That means they're telling you it's kosher. You're not
these
checking.
Among, you then check out. Oh, the ingredients are among this list. That's correct. Right. Something like that.
But yeah, no, but you have to check that, in fact, they're using only those ingredients. You have to be sure they're not using a different ingredient. You can't rely on a company telling you, I only use these ingredients. That's not a hechsher. You have to walk in and check.
Does in the first tshuva, does Ramesh mention anything there about a mashgiach also?
He mentions in the shaila, he mentions that he's talking the case with a miritis, with his appear.
But does he say anything about a mashgiach?
It doesn't say the word mashgiach, because the whole piece talks about the Rambam Shita. And Ramesh goes into, he's a Rambam, and he's all of on the Rambam. But, you know, it's a letter, it's written in response to the shaila.
It doesn't sound like he was talking about
it. You know, he was alive when he wrote the last second one. He said that's what he thought about. I agree with you. I'll tell you the truth. There's a fourth tshuva that Ramesh doesn't allude to. Ramesh was a bucky in Nigris Moshe. But he could have written more sharply, because in Chelek Aleph there's an other tshuva. It was printed at the same exact volume, which is earlier. And there's only Yerodeah, all these tshuvas. Yerodeah Simin Nun. He's asked whether you could rely on buying grape juice from a company. Now, grape juice, Minatayr, is kosher. It's 100% grape juice. The question is, are the grapes cooked before the grape juice comes out? In which case, the midig of the Hechsherim is to allow that type of a grape juice, as long as the grapes are cooked in the process of extracting the juice, so it's mevushal before a guy touches it, so then it's kosher. If first they cold squeeze it, and then they cook it, then you have a problem. The guy pushes a button and causes the juice to come out of the grapes, so that makes a treif. He's being menasach the yayin, and that would be an issue. So if it's cold squeezed and then and then cooked, it's a problem. If it's hot squeezed, if it's cooked and squeezed, so Ramesha was asked in that tshuva whether you can rely on a letter from the Goyesha company. So Ramesha there is Mekel. He says, Kivan Shuasa Dravanan. It could be Mekel. Provided that the question is asked in a way that makes it clear that you're not asking about kashrus. The same thing as was said in the earlier one. You're asking about how to make grape juice. You know, you're doing a report in college, in high school, elementary school, whatever. You're doing a report, and you want to report about how grape juice is made, so you're writing them a letter how they make the grape juice. But Ramesha says, just like he says in Tshuva Nun Hei, where he says the letter was written under the guise of a health issue, the same thing in Tshuva Nun, he's talking about where a letter was written, he says, Beferish, it's Dafka when a letter was written on the... without making it clear to the recipient of the letter that you're coming to
certify,
to know if it's kosher or not, to buy it or not, and only then is he mekel. So it's very clear from these three tshuvas, Aleph, Nun, and Nun Hei, and Chelek Dalet, that Ramesh was never mekel on Leimara Nafshei itself, which in fact is what we're saying. Leimara Nafshei needs an extra umdina along with it. It needs some other reason to say that the guy wouldn't do it. The guy wouldn't do it. Plus, you have something else, so that's good enough. So that's basically what comes out from this rule of Uman Leimara Nafshe, Yain Rimayinim. Basically, Kiman Dias Beik Pei, the Leimara Nafshe. When there's an Umdana, he's Leimara Nafshe.
The Ramah also agrees that there has to be an additional factor.
Yes, Mendy mentioned this, that maybe the Ramah means to argue. He says v'chein kol davar shekayin v'chein. That's true. The Ramah sometimes is misleading. He argues in the lashon, which is, but he says kemash v'divrei Haran. The Ran basically has the shaila of Yayin Rimayinim. He says it's mutter just like Pal Talis Mitzvah. So it's his mutter. So he does compare the two, and since by Talis Mitzvah we know the Magen Avraham, the Taz, the Derech Hachayim, the Chacham Tzvi, the Liam Rashah, all are mekel only with the tzirif. So it's fair to say that is probably the kavana of the Ramah here as well.
What about in companies like Procter & Gamble? The truth is that when you send them to their corporate department, the people don't care about the seals that come from it. It's just an inquiry, and it's the person who actually...
It's absolutely not true. The companies are very conscious of their market share. And if you come up with a way for them to increase it by 1%, they'll spend a lot of money to do it.
The person who answers those type of queries, the technical questions, doesn't care. A matter of fact, the truth is, if he lies, he's likely to lose his job. It's much more, he cares about his personal integrity because he doesn't care about the sale. That's somebody else's business. What he cares about is his job, and his job is to get an accurate answer. It would seem to me that would be different than the company where the proprietor...
I'd like to bring you in a few letters I have. I must have brought it here once. It must be 10 years old already. Letters to the Coke company asking whether they're makbid on their Coke cases. Somebody built a sukkah out of the plastic Coke cases. And he's trying to get a straight answer from them as to whether it's a sukkah gazula and he can't use it, or whether they don't mind. So it's a very strange exchange of letters. They're very makbid, but they don't want it back. They're very makbid that they don't keep it, but they don't really need to have it back. But they're very makbid that...
But the point, you know, the point is they're very makbid on the truth, though. The person who answers these type of questions is makbid.
I like to think so. I like to think so. And the question is whether that's good enough for Asher. And there's also another factor. Even if they write you a letter, you don't know if the next day they switch to animal.
But that's something
else. Separate
problem.
I like to think they are, yeah.
You have a company, that advertises that it's just tuna.
Right.
Isn't there an extra layer there where there is something?
See, that's the question. The question is whether that's adequate. Whether halacha allows the Leimara Nafshe to stand by itself. And what we're seeing is that while the Arches HaChayim might hold that way, but might not. He said if it's Ikar Parnasa. Because the Ikar Parnasa is not Jews, but it could be Ikar Parnasa is like Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that they don't want to lie. But the Arches HaChayim, it might be that way. But according to the... Well, we seem to be holding is the Ikar Shita, without a mirtis of some sort, an umdana of some sort, that's not adequate. That's not enough to deliver.
Because there's a whole faction out there nowadays that is very sensitive to
the consumer. It's true. The consumer lobby is very nothing to look at. It's true.
This low market option, by the way, is a very American concept. I don't think this is true anywhere else.
I'll tell you the truth. I personally don't think in America it's as we think it is. I think there's a lot of it. Somebody's in a company for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. They know what they can get away with. They know what they can't get away with. And I personally think that it's just this pristine image. Like people tell me, they go into a ShopRite or into something that, you know, like the knives in the back on the fruit, they would never use for the sandwich. Like, you think it's so clean and pristine. And if somebody goes into the back, you think it's like a third world kitchen. You know, it is a third world kitchen. There's stuff all over the floor and creatures climbing around. And it's nothing like it looks on the outside. So,
What is the problem with food? Is that to be a mistake or is it that to be on purpose?
The problem is that you need a hafshir, and it's not a hafshir. That's what Ramesh writes.
Yeah, but is it because of shasta that
they... I don't know. I'm not really chashid that makes anything in. You know, if a guy brings me a sandwich from... I ask him to bring me a sandwich from Chapanash. I don't think the guy's going to switch it. But Shulchan Aruch says that I'm not allowed to eat it. You trust the guy to bring you meat. So I don't know that we're really... I'm really afraid that there are other things mixed in with the tuna. That's not hafshir. It's not the guideline of what defines a hafshir is not satisfied in the case of fish without an hashgacha to meat. So, Rav Heschel Schefter wrote a long article explaining the LU positions. A beautiful article. It's printed in the journal. But it only answers that there's no treif of fish mixed in. I agree. I don't think there's treif of fish mixed in. But that wasn't Ramesh's concern. Ramesh's concern is whether we satisfy the halachic requirements of a hafshir, which is more of a technical question. I don't think a guy who brings me a sandwich from someplace without it, a simin, I don't think he changed it. I really don't think so. But it's not kosher because Shulchan Aruch says that I'm not allowed to eat it if a guy brings it. Ramesh's concern is satisfying the technical requirements of a hafshir. And that, Ramesh says, you don't have. Do you really think? No, I don't really think. And even if you mixed it with other fish, you think it's more than a 60?
No, I don't.
I don't think so.
Does fish need a hafshir left?
It was a barrier, but once it's ground up, I think so.
Meat needs a hafshir. Does fish need a hafshir?
Yeah, so it needs a double. Yeah, chavis needs a... Especially double gravy on it. So who gets double chutam
on the tuna fish? You have double seeds. How you get double seeds?
You have, the can itself, the sealed can, and then the label on it.
For you?
Now, there's one kasha which you should have asked. You should have asked me, in Simon Tzadikas, we learned that you're allowed to trust the Goyishuk Thela. I have a pot of meat in which some milk fell in, or some treif of meat fell in, and I'm now going to give it to a goyish kfeila to taste. So we say that I could trust the kfeila to tell me that there's no tam. Well, there's a machlokes rishayim. The Rambam holds b'siach l'fitumai, and Shulchan Aruch says you need a kfeila. Kfeila means an expert. So the Kivayegu says that an expert in Sefer Tumah is a contradiction. An expert means Lemara Nafshei, which means he knows you're relying on him. And there it says in Sefer Tumah. So it could be the answer is that it's a combination that you give him some other reason why you want to know, such as Sefer Tumah, and he's a kfeil, he's an expert. So the expert there is believed. So there we have that a guy is believed Sefer Tumah. Now, behold, it's a kfeil, it could be it's the same din. It's Tago Lemara Nafshei, plus the fact that it's a Milsa David L'Gluye. The Shach there says, because of Milsa David L'Gluye, that's why you believed. However, many of the Achrayim hold, including, I believe, the Rambam, that it's Lav Dafka Tagar. Any guy is believed, there's no Lemara Nafshe, by Milsa David L'Gluye, a guy is believed. So the question is, if any guy is believed by Milsa David L'Gluye, how could you tell me that Tagar Lemara Nafshe is only if also it's a Milsa David L'Gluye? Any guy is believed by Milsa David L'Gluye. Yes?
You said he doesn't taste anything. You could taste it afterwards and see whether...
That's why it's a Milsa David L'Gluye. Right. So the question is, by Musabi Lukuye, whether you also need Tagalay Marum Nasa.
It's not just an independent additional factor, it's a basis for...
It's true, and you're right, I don't mean to be asking anything on the Machaber, I mean Ramesh is true. Ramesh says, you need Masad Avil Avidul Gliye plus Leimarum Nasai. But Avidul Gliye is believed anyway. So the truth is that there are other kashas in Masad Avidul Gliye. Because there are other places where it says, for example, the Gemara says in Gittin and Daf Yutes that if Bezdin gets a shtar written in Persian, shtar parsar, that Bezdin can't read Persian. I don't know what it says. So they call in a guy and they say, read it for me. How do you know the guy is translating it properly? So it says, you bring in shtay guy and zel shalai b'snezeh. You have two guys read it for you, one not in front of the other. And we assume that if they're reading it the same way, that it's good. In Hilchas Ribis, we find the Simukos Samachay. the Simukos Samachay, we find the same thing. It says there that when the government changes the coinage, they abolish a coin, they put out a new coin. And for Ribis purposes, you have to know, does the new coin have more silver or less silver than the old coin? It's hard to figure out. You have to go to a professional who can assess it. So it says there that you rely on two gayim shzeh shalei b'fnei zeh. And the reason it's given, the Shach himself says, milsa David l'gluyeh. So there we say, and milsa David l'gluyeh needs two gayim shzeh shalei b'fnei zeh. And simit tzadiches, it only one guy is believed. But the answer is, what someone started to say before, that there are two types of milsa David l'gluyeh. In simit tzadiches, it's a milsa David l'gluyeh miyad. Prima Gadim says that there. It's a milsa davida l'gluye miyad. Why miyad? You're telling the guy, taste this. If he says he tastes a tray for food, you throw it out. There's no shilas. Question is, if he says, it's a vegetable soup, I don't taste the meat. If he says that, am I allowed to rely on him? Well, he knows if I'm relying on him, I'm going to eat it. And miyad, I'm going to taste it, and I'll see if he's lying to me or not. And a milsa davida l'gluye miyad. So that the Shach says this chiddush that that's what the kavanah of the Shulchan Aruch that a guy is believed. However, on some it's lo yavida l'gluye miyad. You know, you translate it in Persian. One guy is going to read it in Persian. So you want to see how reliant it is. Avida l'gluye. Someday we could always check it out. Or a hechsher. Someday somebody will walk in and catch them. Or the case of the coinage. Someday we'll assess the value of silver. And mizavilu for someday. That you need the Leimaro Umnasai together with the idea that it's a Musa David Lugluya. So that's Sifhei. Sifhei is this rule of Uman Leimaro Umnasai. The mistaken understanding is that by itself is good enough. And the correct understanding is that you need some sort of a tzirif, whichever tzirif you hold, but you need some sort of a tzirif in order to be Mekel.
That's what the saying. Given the
That's right.
He loves more or less, then you cannot rely on
him. If he runs only the risk of Mara Nafshe alone, if he only runs the risk of being caught lying, that's not enough. There has to be some other risk. And Kivan Dispek Peda, the Magen Avraham understands, means that it affects the health value of Yayin Remainim. It's something which people are makbid that Yayin Remainim not have Yayin Anava mixed in.
Perhaps you can't taste the difference. Maybe the effects don't work. Could
right. That? No, that's certainly what it means.
Then you're really not going to find out until,
Well, I'm not so sure because my understanding is even with it being an Uman, it still needs Kivan Dispek Peda. It's true, the Mechaber doesn't use the Lashon Uman, only the Ramah. And I can't answer, I don't know why. It's learned from the Gemara of Taos Mitzvah, which is a Taka. Siv Vav is another Chiddush in Kashrus. Sarach Nizar v'Livdek v'Lachkar b'Shechar uv'Mashke Shal Dvash. Sha'aisim ha'evdek hechavim achshav. It says in the Shulchan Aruch is they have to investigate if the goyim put in shmarim shel yayin, if they mix this in, and apparently that's good enough. If you know that the normal way to make beer is without wine, so apparently that's good enough. It doesn't say that you have to check each batch of beer as it's made, or each batch of mashke shel dvash as it's made. The Mechabi here is saying a chiddush. He writes in a strong lashon, "Tzarich lizar livdak v'lachkar." You have to investigate. But once you investigate and find that beer is made with all kosher ingredients, so then you can rely on that. You don't need a hechsher for the beer. You can buy beer from Goyim. So then the Ramah says, "Vim darkon litein by shmarim also liknais mehem." I don't know what the chiddush is exactly. The chiddush will be in this next part. But basically he's saying the chiddush of the chaber is probably what the Welt relies on today to buy beer or schnapps without hechsherim. Because if you're Baidik and Chayker and you find that the way beer or this type of whiskey is made typically is without wine mixed in or without non-kosher ingredients, so then you can rely that they're always making it in the way that it's typically made. That's a chiddush in the Shulchan Aruch that you can rely on it, but it's a machaber. Now, it shouldn't be treated lightly. Sometimes people sit in an armchair and they say, if us can show him Zayin, you know, what could be bad with it already? But yeah, I got to check. Lachkar v'livdai. But once you check and you know how these things are made, so you could rely on it. As I said, I think that's what they rely on for beer and schnapps, whether it's correct or not correct, only time will tell. But that is, I think, what the Hashem print lists of acceptable beer and whiskey products without a Hashem. And I'm guessing that's only they're relying on Sivav, which says that if you buy dick, it's good enough.
What does it mean to buy? They don't let them into the plants.
What exactly it means to be baidik a chayker, I'm not sure. But I think that certain David Scott will fill you in later on exactly how each type of schnapps is made and why they would mix in certain things. And I hope it is that way. You know, hope they're not quietly putting in flavor enhancers that might have shyness. Now. And I'll mention again, there is a distillery that has recently been discovered as being Jewish-owned. So there's a whole list of additional schnapps, which everyone assumed was kosher until fairly recently, that has now been discovered to be Chametz Rav Lava Pesach. The list is upstairs on the bulletin board. But fortunately, I don't recognize, well, I is no Raya, but the most of the names are not the very typical names. David, any names are there that you see around? Which ones?
Buffalo
Trace.
T-R-A-C-E? Yes.
Buffalo Trace, okay.
They were pushing that for a while.
So these are things, and I don't know, I got, by Shleach Manis, I got quite a few of small bottles that said ice. Ice is apparently the name of a schnapps. It could be, why did I get a few of them? I'm guessing that one of these tzedakis that made packages stuck it in. Because I never saw it before, and I pull out all the schnapps and I throw it out, whatever I get. I didn't taste it. And that's on the list of things that are Chametz Rav Lava Pesach. So you should check the list, you know, it's sort of, I always say, I don't like schnapps anyway. So, what? Yeah, okay. At any rate, that's the Mechaber. Let's see the Ramah. Im darkon nita by shmarim also liknais behen. Im ein b'mashke shishim min ha-shmarim. Another important rule. If the mashkin are not 60 times the shmarim, if, in other words, if they do put treif ingredients, but it's less than a 60th, it's mutter. V'hu d'olei avida l'taymei, d'olatamei afila b'alafloi batel. Of course, it can't be a flavoring or a flavor enhancer. That's never batel. But if they put it in and it's less than a 60th, so why do they put it in?
Color.
If it doesn't, let's say for color.
Color.
It's also not batel, yeah. So why do they put it in?
It's a filler.
A filler to save money, maybe. It's cheaper. Okay. So it says here, if it's batel b'shishim, then it's mutter. The Taz says, and it's not batel b'sheish. The Taz Shita is that many achrayim hold that wine in wine and water, everyone holds is batel b'sheish. Wine b'shar mashkin. So the Taz Shita is that wine loses its chumrah of wine at 1 in 6. You don't make a bar priyagafen on it, and therefore it's enough 1 in 6 in the case of wine. But al kapanim from the Rama Mechaber Ramah Shita, we do learn another chiddush. We know we always have a rule that ein mevatlin is lechatzila. You now take an isser and be mevatlit deliberately, and if you do, there's a knas. There's a knas if you deliberately mevatl isser that you're not allowed to eat the resulting mixture. Not only the person who mixes it, but the Taz said, even when Mishanasa Bishvili, if it's made for someone, that person is not allowed to eat the product of something in which they were mevatel lachatchila. So here it's saying that if they add Shmarim Shel Yayin into this Sheikhar, even though apparently they do it deliberately, nevertheless, there's no knas. Now the guy is allowed to do it. Guy is allowed to do it, but the knas of l'mishanasa b'shvilai does not apply. Rav Moshe has his rather famous tshuva in the first Yeridaya. I think it's tshuvas samach bay, samach gimel, samach dalid. Three tshuvas about blended whiskey, and Rav Moshe addresses this question: why there's no knas of aim of atlin eslachatchila? And Rav Moshe there has his beautiful chiddush. He says that when the mevatel the iser, the mevatel it to sell it to all the goyim and all the yidden, all the customers. So he says, let's say, for example, the whiskey is sold to 95% goyim and 5% Jews. So if they're put in the iser, now to sell it to goyim, they're allowed to put in iser. Just the 5% that they're selling to yidden, they're not allowed to be mevatel iser. Zakra Maisha. So then what they make, the knas would apply only to 5% of their product. Not to the other 95%. Well, 1 second. So he said, Ramesha says, the knas would apply to 5% of the product, not the 95% which is made to sell to Goyim. So for Ramesha, when you go into the store and you buy a bottle of whiskey, you could go basarayiv that it comes from the 95%. The knas is on 5%, not on 95%. Now there's no brayra by Rabbanim. We can't say, this is barred, that this is the bottle that was made to sell to Jews. There's no bottle made to sell to Jews and bottle made to sell to Goyim. The bottles are the whiskeys made. So Ramesha writes, Ichabdalamdis, that the Knas would apply to only 5% of the whiskey. Raiva the whiskey, there's no Knas. Raiva is made for Goyim. So when a Jew buys a bottle of whiskey, he could go bust a Raiva, and it's from the ones on which there's no Knas.
In each bottle, 5% of the
whiskey. There is no Knas.
How do you know to break it up? I guess I could break it up however I like. It's what?
There's no
every drop. You want to look at each drop as being 5%. Well, 95% of the bottles are for goyim, 5% are for Jews. A bottle is not made. You have one bottle that's partially for a Jew and partially for a guy.
95%
is made for their customers.
Are we talking about so, Jewish manufacturing?
No, we're talking about goyim. It's all about goyim. So the question is, right? So if goyim are mevatel iser for Jews,
but
they're not mevatel iser for me. I tell a guy, make me something and put an iser. Make this for me and put an iser. So if I tell him to put an iser, there's a knas to be shenas to be shenas.
Right, but the Jewish manufacturer isn't doing it for you.
So Ramesh is saying that he's doing it for Jews 5%. And that 5% is Batel Barai with the 95%. You're saying it should be better anyway.
Yeah, he's just making snaps. He's not even about doing it for that.
Okay, Ramesh is... because... Because we don't say Breira by Drabana. By Breira, we don't say by Drabana. Ramesh goes even further. He says by Drabana, we'll make a lam Breira. It's not cool. All right, so anyway, we learned Sifhei and Sifvav are two chidushim in Hechsherim. Sifhei is the chidush of Leimarim Nasei. Sifvav is the chidush you can rely on the way a product is normally made. Now, Ramesh has an interesting tshuva. He writes that this is not a reason to give a hechsher. Let's say you're going to rely on this heter. You know that beer is always made a certain way, or you know that rive of something is good and it's enough to be mekel. And Moshe writes, maybe it could be mekel to eat it, but that's not a hechsher. A hechsher, if you're giving me a hechsher, it means it's an edus that you know it's good. And if you're relying on a heter that everyone has anyway, that's not an edus. That's what Ramesha writes in the Tshuva, in the beginning of Chelek Dalid, in Tshuva Aleph. And he, Ramesha has very strict guidelines for what a Hechsher is. I don't think the large Hechsher organizations follow Rav Moshe's guidelines as far as the frequency of visits. Rav Moshe says it has to be unannounced visits, which is not the way it's done in a lot of the foreign countries, which are dangerous countries to be in. And there are a lot of countries where there are none ever unannounced visits. If you see food that's manufactured in Ivory Coast, or even in the Sudan, believe it or not, or in these places, no one goes anywhere without armed guards. And no Jew in America is going to know how to hire armed guards there. The company knows that the machshir is coming well in advance. So I think that Hashem tried to make only simple things in these places. But it doesn't follow Ramesh's guidelines, basically. And although Rebelsky spoke here a few times, he made fun of a lot of the so-called Hamish Hechsherim. A lot of them don't have any clue what they're doing, which is true. A lot of them, it's a Hechsher on the Gavra, not a Hechsher on the Heftza. But nevertheless, some of them, when they are Makbid, the good ones, are Makbid, basically Ramesh's guidelines, to make things only when a Yid is there, and they don't rely on going infrequently and unannounced. Rav Moshe says that Mashkiach has to be a Yirei Shemayim, somebody who has the guts. Rav Moshe also writes that he can't be paid by the Hechsher, by the company. If let's say he reveals that this is Treif, and he pulls the Hechsher, if he would lose his job over it, Rav Moshe says it's not a Hechsher.
He might lose his job from the Hechsher organization.
No, they're somewhat for it. But my point is, if this is his only job, and if he revealed he would lose his job, Ramesh says that's not a Hechsher. So I hope that they all do it this way. I'm not sure. And it's an important criteria. Let me just look at some Zayin quickly. It's a quick sip. Shemen, I apologize, those who do not have it in their copy. Shemen v'dvash shalai v'kechav v'mutarim. Shemen and dvash of a goyamotah. Let me explain this. Originally, when Chazal asked Bishalakum, Afiyasakum, Cholavakum, Yayinakum, they also asked Shemenakum. Originally, they asked the wine of a guy, the oil of a guy. There's a Bezdin that became known as Beidina de Sharu Mishcha. It was a Bezdin that reversed the Gezerah of Shemenakum. Now, how exactly they're allowed to reverse it is a separate issue. But the Gemara says they got a name, Beidina de Sharu Mishcha. The Gemara says later they didn't want to be known as Mekilim. They were reluctant. Shas that came that there had to be a Chiddush Kula, they sent to a different Bezdin. So they didn't want that people think that they're Stam Mekilim. But the Beidina de Sharu Mishcha was Matir. The Rambam goes so far as to say that someone who's Machmir is Nikra Chayte. The Rambam writes that since the Bezdin was Matir, Shemen Akum. Now, if you're machmer, because you're not sure it's kosher, you can be machmer. But if you want to be machmer and shemen akum, because the original gezeira, so the Rambam says nikra chayte. So here the Mechaber writes shemen vidvash. Incidentally, I don't know the chiddush of why honey is mentioned here. But shemen vash lev yekachav mutarim. The oil and the honey of a guy are permissible. And he says, if you look at, by the way, the Be'er HaGaila, he brings b'gemara Reb Yehuda nesia ubeidina nimnu aleha vitirua. That the Bezdin of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Megal. Anyway, the Einam Nesarim was Megal on Shemen Akum. They were Matir, the original Gzeira of Shemen Akum, which was originally Aser. The Einam Nesarim Bishul Bishulei of Kechavim. They're not Aser because of Bishul Akum. Why? Why they're not also of Bishul Akum? They could be eaten raw. The Shachin Tazbo Seik Nechol Chai. V'loi Mishum Giulei of Kechavim. You have to be worried about Blias. Why don't you have to be worried about Blias? So the Shach says two reasons. He says because Basa v'shuman have a bad taste in Shemed v'dvash, and because Stam Kelim ain't a b'nei Yalman. So therefore, who adin l'mayim chamin shalahem? Well, look at that. It says here, b'feirish in the Mechaber, that you can go into a Gaisha store and buy hot water from them. There's no bishalakum, obviously. And there's no giulayakum, because Stam Kelim ain't a b'nei Yalman. And therefore, you could rely on buying these things from a guy, and there is no Isser. L'chayra, what's the Chiddush? And Beidina, the Shor Mishra, is a Chiddush. The Chiddush, the Stam Kelim, Mena, Ben Ayayimah, we're going to have later. And the Nechel, Kamoi, Shulchai, is what we had earlier. So it's a little unclear to me exactly what the chiddush. What? So okay, so mishtan v'briyos underwater. Okay, it's true. All right, so I don't know what the chiddush is. It's also based on Stam Kalim Bnei Yaiman. So I don't know what the chiddush is exactly, but it's comforting to know if somebody goes and buys hot water or someplace that it's a mechaber. The mechaber says that you could rely. Well, you don't know that they used it for non-kosher. The reason Stam Kalim Ainu Bnei Yaiman is because of a sex faker. If you know for sure that they used it, but you know for sure. You know for sure every day it's used. Alright, that's a good point. Well, what happens if you know for certain that they use it every single day? They cook every day. Oil, they could cook once for 2 weeks. But what happens? You go in, you know every single day they use it. So, l'chayr, you don't have the cool of stop kelim ain't even a yayman. I don't know, it's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know. Okay, what? Yes, and you have another heta maybe that it's used exclusively for water, so.
It's washed out.
Alright, next week's if chesed.